Thank you, Rabbi Glenn. John chapter 5. We're continuing with Yeshua's astounding, astonishing, surprising claims about himself, which really form the heart of Christian theology. The healing of the disabled man on the Sabbath and the response of the leaders prepares us for these astounding claims that Yeshua made about himself in his defense. Yeshua was being attacked by the Jewish leaders, but instead of backing down, he doubled down. I would say tripled down. He didn't apologize for anything he did or said. Instead, he made astounding, astonishing claims about himself. Many people over the centuries have made claims about themselves. I understand the truth better than anyone else. I have hidden secret knowledge about God that no one else does. I'm a messenger of God. I'm a prophet. I'm the Messiah. What makes Yeshua's claims so very special is that they are true, and they give us some of the clearest understanding about who Yeshua is. We're going to start reviewing. I'm going to read verse 16. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Yeshua for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Yeshua replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, their understanding of the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Wow. More astounding claims Yeshua made about himself. Verse 19. So Yeshua explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will be truly astonished." More claims Yeshua made about himself. Verse 21, "For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live." That's where we left off. We will continue Yeshua's astounding, astonishing, surprising claims about himself. Verse 26, "The Father has life in himself and has granted that same life in himself to his Son." Yeshua is different from everyone else other than God the Father. Yeshua has not created life, but divine eternal life, the same kind of life in himself that God the Father has. Yeshua is a man, but he's also fully God in nature. Abraham, Moses, any of the greatest people who have ever lived, they never had life in themselves. Yeshua has that same eternal divine nature and sharing of eternal life that the Father has. And then notice something interesting. The Father grants that life in himself to the Son. Rabbi Glenn, we're swimming in deep waters here.
Yes.
Any thoughts?
A few. You know, twice in this passage, Yeshua says that the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father doing. This isn't about his inability, because he has life in himself. He is divine. So when he's saying the Son can do nothing of himself, it's more speaking to his character. He is perfectly obedient to the Father. So it's not an inability, but an unwillingness. He will not deviate at all. And, you know, I think about who he's speaking to. These are the Jewish religious leaders. They're already set against him. They've been... This whole thing started right here with they didn't like the fact that he was performing miracles on the Sabbath. And so here's a group of men who are so preoccupied with all the minutiae about the Sabbath, but they seem to have no qualms about wanting to kill him. I mean, talk about a disconnect. And as Rabbi Lorne, you said, he's not backing off from his claims. He's doubling down. He's tripling down. He is making some of the most audacious claims. I mean, imagine the audacity of claiming to be the ultimate judge of all mankind. Imagine the audacity if it weren't true. Imagine the audacity that he says his words are life. Who goes around saying that if these things weren't true? So when it says that he has life in himself, this is an acknowledgement of the full divinity of the Messiah. And this is one of the foundational truths, biblical truths, of who Yeshua is. Not everybody believes in his divinity. And this is an error to disbelieve that he is the divine, that he is deity, is to contravene his own words. And he says it not once, not twice, but multiple times in this passage in many different ways. So here God has given him to have life in himself. Every one of us, everything that exists or has ever existed, exists because God gave life to it. Messiah Yeshua has life in himself. And that is quite an audacious claim if it isn't true.
Rabbi Jerry.
I just add, you know, emphasizing what Rabbi Glenn said, you know, there's this harmony we see in the triunity of God, right? God the Father sends God the Son. God the Son says you will send the Holy Spirit, and he sends us out as disciples, equipping us with the Holy Spirit. And so just as Messiah Yeshua does exactly what the Father's will is, so we need to do God's will. And again, this is a contrast to these leaders who definitely believe they're doing God's will, definitely believe they're in harmony with God, but actually aren't because of their opposition to Messiah Yeshua. And so again, it's just another claim, another reason why there's serious issues in their lives that they need to fix, that he is in a very strong way in love pointing out to them.
The Father has life in himself. He always lived. He never had a beginning. He never had an end. He was always alive, unlike all other created beings, people, angels, animals. And he has granted that same life in himself to his son. So Yeshua shares that same eternal, uncreated life that God the Father has. They are equal in nature, equal in life. And yet, Yeshua points out that the Father is superior to the Son in authority. The Father has granted that same life in himself to his Son. The Father grants, the Son receives. We see this over and over again. God the Father and God the Son are equal in nature, equal in divinity. The Father is superior to the Son in authority And even, you know, when it comes to the having life in himself, which is deep, God the Father grants to the Son to have that eternal life in himself that he has. Verse 27, and he has given him authority, God the Father has given God the Son, Yeshua, authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. The same God, God the Father, who has given that same life in himself to Yeshua, God the Son, has also given Yeshua authority to judge every human being who ever has lived, is living, or ever will live. Because he is the Son of Man. Rabbi Jerry, let's start with you.
Well, there's a lot here to unpack as well, but briefly, I would just say about this, that title, Son of Man, it can mean a couple of things in Scripture, but the use of it here, and again, the audience that Messiah Yeshua is speaking to, these Jewish leaders, understood how he was using that phrase. And that is another title for being the Messiah, which also emphasizes his humanity. So in the previous verse, we see an emphasis on his divinity being fully God. And here in this verse, we see his humanity being fully man. That's why we talk about our theology comes from this idea of Messiah Yeshua being fully God and fully man is made very clear in this passage of Scripture in particular. But his authority to judge, again, notice this connection between eternal life, life, and judgment. We've seen this elsewhere in the same passage. But his authority to judge is because he is the anointed king. He is the Messiah. He did become a man. He understands what it means to be human. He was tempted in all ways like we are, but he did not sin, as Scripture tells us. So we can't go before him and say, well, you don't understand. How can you judge me? You don't know what it's like. He does know what it's like. And he says, you still have to meet the standard. And again, the audience he's speaking to, we've talked about this especially last week. You know, they're judging him. Messiah Yeshua is saying, I have a greater authority to judge you. Let me remind you again that I do, with another reason why I can judge you.
All right, let's see how many people have been reading their Bibles. When you hear the title Son of Man, what book of the Bible of the Old Testament do you think of? Daniel. If you said Dan, well, Ezekiel, but Daniel. And who's really been reading? What chapter do we have this great cosmic Son of Man? Chapter 7, okay? This is a chapter that every serious follower of Yeshua, Jewish, non-Jewish, everyone should be deeply familiar with Daniel chapter 7. In this vision of the night, Daniel says, he saw the Ancient of Days take his seat on the throne. And then he says, in my visions, I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds. And he was presented before the Ancient of Days. And to him was given authority, dominion, and kingship so that men of every nation and language might serve him. Okay? Daniel chapter 7. Friends, if you don't have it committed to memory, you really need to. If you're going to make the case for Yeshua's divinity, and when somebody says to you, yeah, but see, look, he called himself Son of Man. See, he's denying being deity. You need to know that Daniel chapter 7 says otherwise, and that when Yeshua uses that title, It's with intent. He's speaking to that Jewish audience. They knew Daniel chapter 7, and I would remind us that Yeshua said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. We need to know the scriptures better.
Yeshua claims to be the final judge of all humanity. Have you ever gone to court and appeared before a judge? I have. You don't want to do things, say things that annoy the judge. You want to be on your best behavior. You want to dress up. You want to show him honor. Yeshua is the ultimate judge of humanity, judging the most important things, matters of eternal life or eternal death. Does it make any sense for any human being to ignore or reject the one God has given the authority to judge every human being who has lived, is living, will live?
We want to be a friend of the court.
You definitely want to be a friend of the court. Verse 28, don't be so surprised. These things that Yeshua has been saying, they are surprising, shocking, astounding, astonishing. But he says, don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. And those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Don't be so surprised. There is a shocking quality to everything that Yeshua has been saying. Rabbi Glenn, thoughts about Yeshua's talking about him raising the dead back to life and being the judge?
You guys know what the Yiddish word for audacity is? Chutzpah. This is chutzpah. If it's not true, then this is blasphemous. If this is not true, but Yeshua is the one who will raise the dead. And there can be no greater authority than the one who can summon back to life those who are dead. You know, I don't know about you, but when in chapter 11, when Yeshua raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, and we're going to have fun with that. I know we're going to have a lot of fun with it. I always wonder if he had left off Lazarus's name when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. Imagine if he had just said, come forth. He would have been raising all the dead. Well, guess what? He tells us that day is coming. And with a word, he will summon the dead to life. Again, if this was not true, it would be so audacious. So we need to reckon with the fact that Yeshua is not just some rabbi. He's not just some good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is the living God come in the flesh, and he will raise the dead on the last day. We can't waffle on that. We shouldn't try to compromise on something like that in order to get along. This was something I wrestled with. It took a while as a new believer. I started wondering, is Jesus actually God? And that question sent me back deep into scripture. And I read things like this, and I read what the prophets had to say about the deity of the Messiah. And I came to the conclusion, inescapably, he is God the Son. And there can be, that is the foundation of everything here.
Rabbi Jerry.
Well, you know, there's this emphasis here that those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. I think it's worth emphasizing this is more than just mitzvot, doing good deeds, because we've read in the previous section of this same passage that those who believe and obey Messiah's message and believe in the one who sent him will have eternal life. So the idea here is what he's saying is those who believe in who sent him and do what he is saying as part of his message, trusting him, will achieve eternal life. And those who continue in evil will rise to experience judgment. And he's saying to his audience, to these Jewish leaders who probably felt very secure in their place in the world to come, that they really need to examine their lives and repent. And again, it's an incredibly audacious claim, but he wants to shock them to their core, because sometimes you need to do that to get people out of whatever situation they're thinking they're in. It takes something shocking like this to really make a person reevaluate how they're living their lives. He's attacking the core of their identity and saying, what you have put your trust in is not what's going to get you eternal life.
These people were experts in the Torah. Anyone who is familiar with the Torah knows that God is the one who gives life. God is the one who takes life. God is the one who resurrects the dead. Techiat hametim, the resurrection of the dead. To hear this carpenter turned itinerant rabbi claiming that it will be his voice that will raise the dead is so shocking. Moses never would have said anything like that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, the kings, no one would have claimed to be the one who is going to speak, and the dead all over the world will come back to life, the good and the bad.
One last thing, just to kind of reiterate something Rabbi Jerry alluded to. What constitutes the good? What constitutes the evil? Your disposition towards Messiah Yeshua is the deciding factor on whether you are reckoned as good or reckoned as evil. Your disposition towards the Son of God.
Verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. Yeshua had claimed to be the ultimate judge, and he says that his judgment will be just, not just on the last day, but in all issues. Why, Rabbi Jerry? Talk to us.
Well, he says there's a old meme or phrase that gets bandied about sometimes that people will say when you criticize about something. Well, only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. You know, these rabbis would have felt the same way. You know, who are you, itinerant rabbi, to tell us these things? And Messiah Yeshua is reminding them, first of all, that he's in perfect harmony with God the Father's will. But it's not just him judging them. You know, he's the messenger, but it's God the Father, the God that they claim to serve, that they believe in. He is judging them. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just. This isn't just me telling you this, even though by that authority it would be good enough, but you can trust that my words are trustworthy, which we're going to get into here, because I am in lockstep with God the Father. So you really need to pay attention to the stuff I am telling you right now. And again, you know, you say, well, why does he have to repeat himself so many times? Why is he saying it in so many ways? Because of how shocking it is and how much this requires an adjustment from these leaders. But he cares enough about them not to just tell them once, but to tell them over and over again in many different ways so that they understand exactly what he is saying.
And we need the reminder too. How quickly we forget the holiness of God, how quickly we forget Yeshua's greatness, and we do our own thing. And again, when he says, I can do nothing on my own, this is not referring to the inability to do something. It rather speaks to the fact that he is perfectly obedient to what the Father says. Not that he can't, but he won't. A funny little story. Alexander's going to be annoyed that I tell this. We used to babysit for a neighbor's little kid who was the same age as our Ari. So this little boy is now 30 years old. So this long time ago. And she was babysitting at their house, and there were blocks all over the floor and toys scattered. And she said, "Okay, Benny, it's time for us to clean everything up." And he just sat there and crossed his arms. And he didn't know how to pronounce Alexandra's name. So he said, "No, Miss Anzadranza, no, I can't. I can't, Miss Anzadranza." And then he looked at her and he said, "I won't." Yeshua is not saying that he can't judge or that he doesn't have the authority. He's already affirmed that he's been given all authority to judge. He will not judge in any way that is contrary to the standard the Father has set. So again, if somebody misuses this statement, "Oh, I can do nothing on my own," they're ripping it out of context. Don't let them get away with that. This is not about inability. It's about the unwillingness to deviate at all from the truth and the standard of God.
Yeshua has claimed to be the ultimate final judge of humanity, the greatest judge who has ever lived. When I think about judges now, there are bad judges, there are okay judges, there's decent judges, there's some really good judges. But almost all judges, all judges make mistakes. Yeshua claims to be perfect in judgment. "I judge as God tells me. I do nothing on my own." When we make determinations on our own, when we are motivated by self and self-interest, even a judge, when he is biased in some way, the judgment turns out badly. Yeshua says, "I am the perfect judge. Every judgment, every decision, every determination I ever make is perfect and just because I'm not seeking what's my best interest. I do nothing on my own. I am totally focused on judging according to God's interests, what God tells me. Therefore, he's the perfect judge. He's not motivated by self-interest. He is completely unbiased, perfectly attuned with the just judgment of God." That's the kind of judge that we want. Does it make sense for anyone to ignore or reject the one who judges exactly as God tells him so that his judgment is always just? Does it make any sense to ignore or reject the one who perfectly always carries out the will of God in every matter? Yeshua has made some astounding claims about himself. Now, he gives us witnesses to his astounding claims. How can we know if Yeshua's claims about himself are true? Yeshua gives us the reasons. Verse 31. "If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid." Not because what Yeshua said about himself is wrong, but because according to the Torah, two or three witnesses are needed to confirm something, not just one witness. In this case, Yeshua is testifying about himself, but he's saying, if I want to be faithful to Torah, I need more than just my own witnesses, my own witness. I need additional witnesses, or I want additional witnesses, and here they are. Verse 32, but someone else is also testifying about me. And I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. So the first witness that Yeshua calls forth to back up his astounding claims about himself is John the Baptist. Rabbi Jerry, what made John so special, and what was his testimony about Yeshua? What did John say about Yeshua?
So remember, he said in this passage that they sent investigators. In other words, what we read about John here in John's gospel, about John the Baptist, would have been known to these leaders because they sent investigators. So they can't claim we didn't know any of this stuff. So what does John testify? John the Baptist says that, first of all, that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet according to Messiah Yeshua. So he has a very worthy testimony. That's why he's so special. He's the most blessed among those who are born of men, according to Messiah Yeshua. He taught that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that he would baptize people with the Holy Spirit, and that he saw, John says, that John saw that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit confirmed that this was God the Son, that this is the promised Messiah. So he taught in his own testimony and witnessed certain things that he talked about as well. In chapter 3, John testifies that Yeshua came from heaven and is greater than anyone else, that he was sent by God the Father and has the Spirit without limits, enabling him to perform amazing miracles. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Anyone who believes in this testimony of Messiah Yeshua has eternal life. Those who reject it will experience death under intense judgment.
So, Yeshua has been making astounding claims about himself. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet who ever lived, filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, said the same things about Yeshua, right? Witness number one, John the Baptist, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. So this is witness number two to Yeshua's astounding claims. How can we know that what Yeshua said about himself is true? His works, and specifically his miracles and teachings. Rabbi Glenn, how were Yeshua's teachings and miracles even greater than the great testimony of John the Baptist?
Well, we don't have any record of John performing any miracles. So just the fact that Messiah Yeshua performed miracles puts him at a completely other level. And John himself testified that I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I mean, he is so great. He's so much greater than I am. But Messiah's teachings were unparalleled. People would say, I never heard anybody speak this way, right? His miracles, we never saw anything like this in Israel. And he's reminding them of this because they have the responsibility to evaluate. They have the responsibility, just as every human being has the responsibility to evaluate. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going by what I heard. No, he performed miracles, he gave teachings, and they were expected, especially as Israel's leaders, to take the trouble to evaluate his teachings. And if they would bother to do that, his miracles and his words would have completely validated his claim to be the divine Messiah. That's if they were willing to do that. They already showed unwillingness to make that effort.
Just one comment on this is, again, you know, we're having, in a sense, not a trial here, but Messiah Yeshua is defending himself with greater and greater witnesses. We're going to see a sham trial later. But everything that he's telling them about here in these two witnesses, they were privy to. They knew what John the Baptist taught because of the investigators. They have heard what Yeshua has been teaching, and they've received the reports of the miracles Messiah Yeshua performed. So again, they cannot claim ignorance. And as Rabbi Glenn said, as leaders, they have the prerogative as well as the call to properly evaluate and judge these things. And if they weren't looking at it in a biased fashion, they would come away with the understanding that he truly is the Son of God.
Rabbi Lorne, you've been talking about a court, coming into a courtroom and a judge, and you don't want to do things foolishly, right? You got to come in. But I've often talked about the fact that think of yourself as a juror. A juror is expected to come in, hear the prosecution's case, evaluate it, to hear the defense's case and evaluate it. Imagine a juror who would only be willing to listen to the prosecution and refuse to come back into the courtroom to hear the defense's case. That juror would be kicked off the jury, and rightly so. And this is a challenge to people today. If you're not willing to read what Yeshua said and read what he did and see the evidence for yourself, you're like that unworthy juror. You deserve to be kicked off because you're not willing to be just and look at the evidence for it. And this is all evidentiary. Yeshua is saying, you've got John's testimony. You've got my words. You've got the miracles I've performed. And there's more. But the point is, there's evidence there if you're willing to look at it.
Throughout human history, not many people have been blessed by God to do miracles. Muhammad, did he do any miracles?
No.
No. Most of the prophets of Israel did not do miracles. Elijah and Elisha, God enabled them to do some miracles. Moses, what was happening with him and bringing the Jewish people out of Egypt, you know, a lot of miracles took place in the time and life of Moses. Yeshua's miracles exceeded them all. They were more in number. They were more glorious in so many ways. Yeshua is the greatest miracle-working prophet that has ever lived. It puts him on a level different than all the other so-called miracle workers in human history. This indicates that God the Father indeed approved of him and sent him. His miracles attest to that what he is saying about himself are true, is true. And his teachings. The more I read Yeshua's teachings, I've read a lot of stuff over the years, you know, philosophy, ideology, political stuff, economics. The more I read the words, the teachings of Yeshua, and this is over almost 50 years now, it is so clear to me that this is the greatest teacher who has ever lived. The things he said, the way he taught, the way he expressed himself is so profound, so deep, so greater and more important than anything else that anyone has ever taught or said. Later in John, I think it's in John, the leaders send guys to arrest Yeshua. They come back and said, "How can we couldn't?" They came back empty-handed. How could we arrest him? He says things that no human being has ever said before. Yeshua's incredible miracles. And the things he said about himself and his teachings are evidence that he really is the Messiah, the Son of God, that God sent him, God empowered him, God approves of him. We can trust him. We can believe in him. We should trust him. We should believe in him. We're going to have to stop there. More evidences, more witnesses that Yeshua really is exactly who he claimed to be. Thank you, Rabbi Jerry. Thank you, Rabbi Glenn.